Did you know that 90% of the world's millionaires invest in real estate? Well, I'm Angel with the Academy Presents Real Estate Investing Rocks, and I'm here to help you if you want to go for your piece of that pie. Are you new? Are you new to this and you just don't know where to start? It's okay. Are you someone that has invested, but you feel stuck? You feel like you've lost momentum. You don't know where to really head from here. Are you a seasoned real estate investor who is doing great, but maybe you just want to hone a few skills here and there? This is the place for you. The Academy Presents Real Estate Investing Rocks podcast will connect you with industry experts so that you can save time, avoid costly mistakes, and begin living the life you've dreamed of, all through real estate investing. You're already taking the first step just by joining us here today. Hey guys, thank you so much for being here. You know, this is, well, how many bazillion times have I said it? These are my favorite 6 days of the year because I get to spend one-on-one time with experts in the space that, I mean, a lot of people, they don't get those options. So I'm kind of lucky, and I'm going to basically collect information and share it with you because that I feel is my job and that is my desire. And it's just what I want to do. So we're going to be talking to Mark here. Mark Gross is a CostSeg specialist. And really what I'm focusing on right now is the short-term rental. So for those of you that have thought, hey, there are short-term rentals and that's a possibility for me. There are ways to do it through arbitrage. I mean, there are so many ways to get into the short-term rental market. But if you want to do CostSeg, you're going to have to own the property. So that kind of pushes out the arbitrage, but that is still an absolutely amazing way to make money. Don't push it aside. But for those of us that are looking for ways to potentially get a vacation home that pays for itself, this is the guy you want to talk to. So I am super excited. Mark, I'm going to kind of let you intro yourself, give us a little bit of background, and then we'll get going.
Sure. Thank you, Angel. I really appreciate this opportunity. I'm Mark Gross. I'm from CSSI, which is Cost Segregation Services Incorporated. Over the last 20 years, we've completed tens of thousands of studies across the country, not just short-term rentals, but all property types. And I've been doing that for over 10 years with them and really enjoy it, like saving people money.
Absolutely. Yeah. And if you've passively invested in anything in the last few years, you have benefited from that negative K-1. You have. I'm not going to play with you because we have. Our own personal experience says those negative K-1s are amazing. And my take on the 1031 is that we are continuing to defer the tax liability and we're moving into a new property, even though there was recapture from the last, we're moving into a new property that will also have cost segregation, bonus depreciation, because this is the last year for it.
Well, the last year for 100%.
For 100%. I should specify. Last year for 100%. And so even though we're moving into a new property, that recapture, I guess, follows us. And the K-1 will look at the fact that we had the recapture, but then we have the new depreciation or the new bonus. And that should have some cancellation effect.
Yes, I'm going to hedge on this a little bit because the answer is kind of, it depends. And to be able to put out a blanket statement as to this is how it works.
I know.
There's so many different variables. And I don't want to, I'm not trying to hedge the question. It's just that because there's so many different variables, we want to look at what the unique circumstances are for one, and it may not be applicable for everybody. So,
well, and I'll put it out there for you. This is a CYA answer. So you are covering your butt, but CYB isn't as cool as CYA. But that's just the way it works. It's how much are you recapturing? How much are you gaining on the next? And that's why I say that if you've heard me in anything else, it's investing is a job. You need to be of the sound mind and of the sophistication to understand that you have to be able to line these things up so that you don't find yourself in a tax laden situation.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be able to line up your investment so that as one comes up, you've got enough to cancel that one out. So, and that's my own experience. I am not giving experience or advice as an accountant, as a lawyer, as anything. I'm just saying from my own experience, you got to make sure you got those things timed out right to where one comes up, you got enough to cancel it out. Because if you can't cancel it out, that is tax liability for you.
Yeah.
And that's why I say investing is a job.
It really is. You bring up an interesting thing talking about time, because sometimes people will ask, well, when's the best time to do a cost segregation? Well, you can get the maximum benefit the first year of acquisition, especially with bonus depreciation. If you wait other years, what's going to happen is the CPA is going to do a straight line depreciation on it for the years that you do it.
For the whole property. That includes your faucet, your toilet, your tile. It includes everything.
We can still do properties that you've owned for 5 or 10 years. However, the savings are going to be significantly less than if it was done the first year of acquisition. But then some people will say, well, let's say, for instance, I want to do it for a property that I'm acquiring in 2022. When do we need to do that? You need to do the study before the end of the calendar year of 2022. And the answer is no, you don't. You need to have the study completed prior to when you file your taxes. Now, if you were to wait until January, you're pushing the envelope on when the study can be completed for your business taxes in March and your personal taxes in April. CPAs don't like getting the reports the 11th hour just before you submit the taxes.
Well, in our experience, CPAs don't even like getting COSEGs, so.
Yeah, well, I get referrals from a lot of CPAs, and they love it because they realize it helps their clients. But I also, not necessarily for syndicators, but for personal people, for people who own properties themselves, frequently they'll do tax extensions. In fact, that's what I'm busy working on right now, are people that don't have to do it until the fall. So
October.
So we're, you know, this summer we were actually doing studies for properties that people acquired, you know, the previous year, and they were still able to get it done because they were on a tax extension.
No, absolutely. And I think it's really neat to just think about these things. Like, if you sit down as a normal person and you think about it, you're like, wait a second, my toilet's not going to last 30 years. All those little knobs in my kitchen, my kids stand on those because my kids are little. My Jacqueline is small for her age and literally broke off one of the handles on one of the bottom drawers because she was standing on it to get up into the cabinet. And that's not abnormal. That is the norm. Things don't last. And so the things that don't last should be able to be depreciated out in front. If you want to straight line it, fine. But a lot of people do straight line. Great. But if you want to get the benefits for the things that are going to wear out before that 27 and a half or 39 year grouping, you should be able to do that. And there's nothing wrong with that. The IRS code is set up to benefit people that think like that.
Yes. In fact, a good analogy that I'll use, because some people will say, well, is this legal? Well, I'll say, let's say you own a house and you have a mortgage on it and you have interest on it, on the mortgage, and you have real estate taxes. Now, do you deduct the real estate taxes and the interest on your mortgage, on your personal taxes? Yes. Why do you do that? That's because it's in the IRS tax code. Well, similarly, if you own a commercial property and you do cost segregation. That's in the IRS tax code. There's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, no, and I just think there's people that don't know. There are people out there that just don't know. And they think their only option is straight line over the 27 or 39 years. And that's just not the case. And I had no clue. We've been in this game. We've been on the residential side for 2 decades. We had no clue. And we're like, well, could we cost seg them now? Well, we could, but we've owned them since 2003. So
yeah, probably not worth it if it's been that long.
Right, because we've already gone beyond the buckets that would have helped us. Not call them buckets, because that's the easiest way for me to think of it. Like if it's a 5-year bucket, things that really have to be replaced within 5 years, they all go in that bucket. And the 70 or 15, you got buckets. So you're putting things in those buckets that don't last as long. And so for me, it's easier to envision it in the buckets.
Yeah, no, that's a good analogy. And another thing I'll bring up too is that talk about different property types. We actually do a number of single family rentals.
Hey guys, it's Angel. In case you didn't know, I put on a 3-day virtual summit twice a year. It's the Real Estate Investing Rocks Summit, and I've been hosting it since March of 2020. The next one, number 11, is March 25th, 26th, and 27th. 3 full days, no cost to you. My friend Sandy is speaking, and she supported me at every single summit since I started. Joe Fairless, Kathy Fedke, a Tony Award winner, another friend who's raised literal millions from people met on LinkedIn, and the list goes on. You have to join our Mighty Networks community to gain access. And that link, it's in the show notes.
Not just residential, you know, fourplex or apartment building. And we can actually do a lower threshold of those. Especially, it might be $200,000 or $250,000 might be the minimum on that.
Really?
Especially if there's a good, I've done like some portfolios where the number's been less than that, but it might be a dozen or more properties that are in close proximity to each other so that we can, you know, based on volume, be able to do that.
Okay. So that brings me to another selfish question. We got 4 houses here where we live, mm-hmm. and 2 of them are well over 100,000. The other 2 are like, I don't know, 50 to 75 a piece. Would that be a worthwhile study to try, even though, I mean, they're in the same town, they're probably all within 10 miles of one another. Is that a worthwhile study to pursue?
Probably not.
Okay. You're breaking my heart, but that's okay.
I'm just being honest with you. I mean, we can run the numbers, but I'm going to tell you it's probably not going to be a worthwhile venture. And especially considering, you know, are they new acquisitions or have you owned them for a while?
2 of them we've had for probably, God, it's so hard. This is 2022, right? We got them probably in 2013. So we had them for probably 10 years. Yeah. And then 2 of them we bought in the last couple of years.
Probably not, no.
Yeah, well, that sucks.
Sorry to bust your bubble, but, you know, that's the way it goes.
Okay, I got another question. What about if we refi them?
Doesn't matter. It's based on the purchase when you acquired it. It has nothing to do with refinance. It has nothing to do with when a property appreciates. Let's say you buy something at $100,000, but now it's worth $500,000. Can you do a cost seg on the $500,000? No. It's based on what your acquisition cost is.
Okay. Well, you've burst all my bubbles.
We don't want you to be audited and have to give up money.
Well, and you know what? Thank you for keeping me out of the orange jumpsuit.
Even though you'd look good in it, but no.
Well, I look good in everything. But that's not the point.
Hair, yeah.
Yeah, but that's the point. It's really, it comes back to, you're protecting the investor. You're making sure that they're not going to be in a position where, hey, you're about to find yourself in an orange jumpsuit. And really, I asked the questions I asked just to put it out there for everyone. I mean, if you've got properties that you've had for 20 years, sorry, yeah. This kind of sucks for you. But as you're acquiring new properties, God, keep this into consideration. Even yeah. over the next 5 years, as it is phasing out, 80% is way better than zero. 60%, 40%, 20%, all of those percentages are still way better than zero.
Yeah. Plus take into consideration the fact that because it's political, what is Washington, D.C. going to do in a few years? We don't know, but we suspect that some element of that's probably going to come back.
Wait, because all it takes is a vote. All it takes is a vote to get it back in.
Yeah.
And there are plenty of people riding both sides of the political fence that are investing in real estate. And yeah. they want to benefit as well.
Yeah.
And for them to benefit, they have to pass the laws.
Yeah. And I'll bring up another thing. We were talking about the site visits. And let's say you have a 20-unit multifamily property, and all the 20 units are identical or a mirror image of each other. They have two bedrooms and one bath. So when we go out and do the site survey, take the photographs, we'll obviously take a lot of pictures exterior, the common area. We do not have to go into every single unit. If we know that let's say one unit will represent all 20, then all we need to do is go into one unit, and then and that's something that's very defendable. So just what that does is it helps out that let's say you're the landlord, it's gonna be less invasive for your tenants to do one of them versus, you know, every single one. Now obviously if you have something where you're gonna have a different footprint in some of them, you might have some two bedroom, two baths, some which are one bedroom, one bath. We would need to go in and take a representative sample of our pictures of each of those individual samples.
Yeah, but it's still, I mean, the idea of being able to do this is amazing. And, you know, I've talked to friends about house hacking and they're like, well, I can't cost that because I'm house hacking. And I'm like, I think it can. I just don't know all the specifics of it. Does it still have to be a home that is worth $300,000 plus? Or
I think we're getting into a gray area because one of the pre-qualifying questions we'll ask is, do you live on this property? And if you're living there, you cannot cost seg what it is that you're living in. So it's kind of a gray area. I'm going to hedge on it. We'd want to know what the particulars are in the particular situation.
And what if it's a duplex?
Yeah, that's a good example of one you can do.
So you're living in one of the units. So do you only cost seg the unit you're not living in?
Yes.
How does that work?
Well, let's say you buy it for $300,000. You take, assuming that $150,000 is for each unit, and then what you would do is take that cost basis for the one that you are renting out.
Okay, so you've got my mind going. I'm thinking of like a bazillion different things right now, and I just want to thank you. Thank you for being here, because like the ideas you have given me, I can share with people. Even though, like, we've got our family, we're not going to buy a duplex and live in half of it and cost seg the other half. That's not going to happen anymore for us because our family's too large. But for other people that are listening, that is absolutely a possibility for them. Whether it's a quad, a triad, you know, a duplex, whether it's a small apartment complex. I mean, there's things you can do. Oh, my gosh. Anything you can do to reduce your tax liability is insanely amazing.
Yes. Don't leave money on the table.
Absolutely. And God, it doesn't mean you don't want to help people. It just means that you don't want to pay more than you have to.
What you legally have to.
Absolutely. Yep. I mean, we help people all the time, whether it's through tithing or charity or whatever it is. We give to other organizations. Reducing your tax liability does not mean you're a jackass. It just means that you want to care for yourself and your family first. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
No, there isn't. It's all based on the IRS tax code. So we're very stringent on that. Make sure, you know, just like we don't want you to be an orange jumpsuit, we don't want to either.
No, absolutely. You know, Mark, thank you for being here and for entertaining all of my ideas and all of my questions, because they're a little insane sometimes. And, you know, but ultimately just thank you for being here and for sharing information with the people that are here listening. And for those of you out there, I really hope that you've considered joining us on the live side, because it is amazing and it is awesome to be a part of those live conversations. There is a ton of information here if that's not something that you want to do. So don't feel obligated, but absolutely know that the live side is amazing and we would love to have you over there. And if you don't join us, until we see you again.